Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I mean, I think you have to have whiskey on Monday. All right. Yo! What is up, everybody? I'm the big dog, Chasey J. This is Nasty Nate Tringale. Nate, how you doing?
Great, man. It's been a little while since we got to talk. We got the home run derby going on in the background here. Albert put up 13. Yeah.
I don't know if I like him being in the home run derby. I haven't even said what podcast we are yet. What'd you say?
He's 45. What do we expect?
Yeah, true. Jeez, you're so quiet. I can barely hear you. But yeah, Albert, I don't know if I like him being in the home run derby. I don't want him wasting all his home runs or throwing his back out doing this shit when he's trying to get to 700.
I agree with that. Hey, maybe this gets his home run swing going. He only needs, I think, 15 more. So
maybe you being Mr. Optimistic.
Hey, let's get. I'd love to see it, man.
Well, this is Pointless Sports Opinions. I haven't even said what the podcast was yet. Like I said, that's Nasty Nate. I'm Chasey J. This is part two of the Octopod Extravaganza. And what are we doing this week?
I think we're doing the NFC North. Is that right?
That's right. The NFC North. Maybe our hottest division that we have for takes. Would you say so? Me and you both.
I agree with that. Definitely some of my hottest takes come from this.
For sure. I'm super excited. But first, make sure you follow us at PSO Sports 1 on Twitter and Instagram. And Pointless Sports Opinions on everything else. I haven't posted a TikTok in like a week. I apologize. I will jump back on that. But Twitter's still rolling. Check out our blog post that we've had. I wrote about the NBA draft maybe like a month ago. I'll definitely get my fingers working eventually. Next week, we're going to Vegas. So it's going to be kind of tough to write any articles, but after that, Vegas, I promise Vegas, I will write something. Nathan, are you pumped for Vegas?
I'm pumped, man. It's been a few years since I've gone there. I'll tell you what, there's a couple of spots I want to check out. We'll keep that in mind. But what's that, Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday. We're going to be we're going to be doing two pods this week because we have do one early this week to put out next week. We don't know what division it's going to be yet. We'll probably decide on a dime like we usually do. But this week is the NFC North. What?
I said we don't even know what we're talking about until we turn the mic on. We're just kind of.
Exactly.
We're just going to go for it.
I'm super excited. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay. Let's get into it, dude. Let's get into it. I'm excited about this division. First team too. Up. You know, first team up.
I got to be the first division we did. We did it for obvious reasons because of the Baker Mayfield trade. That wasn't the most fun division to start with. I'm glad we're – this one I'm excited about.
Yeah. I feel like almost – that was probably the worst division, so it's good we got it out of the way. But even it's then, close. It was still interesting with the Baker trade. You know?
It was. Yeah, yeah. I mean, something like that happening changes everything, makes it a little bit more exciting. But these were – there's definitely some more – going to be more – some. There's going to be some more exciting divisions out there as the year plays out, I'm assuming.
And this is probably going to be one of them. And we're going to start with maybe a surprise team in the Detroit Lions. Last year, they went 3-13-1 in 2021. Over the offseason, they picked up wide receiver DJ Clark on a one-year, $10 million deal. Linebacker Chris Board, he signed a one-year deal. And then safety Deshaun Elliott, he signed a one-year deal as well. Nathan, what do you think about the DJ Clark pickup? You think that's something or nothing?
I mean, it's something, but what worries me about this team is they've got the most expensive offense in the league with Jared Goff as the quarterback, and they've still got plenty of holes. I mean, but as you saw last year, you know, just them – they were in a lot of games. They were close in a lot of games. Hopefully this can, you know, they made some moves this year.
They definitely could have been a six win team last year.
Easily. Like, if some things went their way, for sure.
It felt like they lost three 50-50 games.
Absolutely.
And they had the longest field goal kicked against them in NFL history to beat them.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Subtractions, they lost Kadero Hodge. He went to the Falcons, wide receiver. Defensive tackle Nick Williams, linebacker Trey Flowers, linebacker Jalen Reeves-Maben, he went to the Texans, and safety Dean Marlowe, he went to the Falcons. Nathan, anything stand out there you want to talk about? Or I mean, Trey Flowers, that's kind of, I mean, he's a veteran. Really.
No.
Not
really. I think. Yeah.
I think a lot of what this team is doing is building from the draft. The addition, subtractions, I don't think they're too worried about those right now. They're just trying to get as much young talent in as they can for now.
Yeah. But we're about to talk about a big, big point here, which is the NFL draft. Very few teams I'm excited to talk about their drafts in the Lions. I'm pretty excited to talk about this. First round, they took defensive end Aiden Hutchinson, who arguably could have went one. To many people say he should have went one. And they also got a good skill player, wide receiver, and Jameson Williams. Apparently, all signs are pointing towards his return to be week one. So he's probably going to miss all preseason, all offseason as a rookie, and he's going to come in. Week one is the expected date that he's going to be ready to go. So we'll see what they do with him then. Second round, they took defensive end Josh Pascal. And third round, they took a free safety named Kirby Joseph. Nate, what do you think about the Lions draft? Do you think Aiden Hutchinson's going to come out hot and be like, hey, like I should have been one? Like, and pull up like a Watt, you know, type rookie season? No?
No, I think he's going to be very good for a rookie, but I don't. Oh, uh-oh.
Oh, she don't like Aiden Hutchinson.
Oh, no.
She don't like him at all. No, it's all right. Keep going. She's good.
No, I think he's going to be a very good rookie, though. I think Jameson Williams, I think, is going to be a good talent in the long run. I don't a stellar year by any means, but I think they've made some good additions in the draft. So this year, maybe not a whole lot to be excited about, but I think there's some definite potential there in the future.
I'm definitely a big hypocrite because how much shit did I talk on Jameson Williams?
A lot.
Yeah, that much. I talked a lot of shit on him. But as soon as he went to the Lions, I'm like, I feel like this is a pretty comfortable pick. They're not in any rush to win this season. And they're not. The draft, and I think, you know, I like Dan Campbell. You know, I like Dan Campbell. I think he actually does, you know, he's kind of got like that Ted Lasso feel to him where he's just like, you know, he can motivate the kids, you know. Let's talk about their strength of schedule here. 28th hardest schedule. So, I mean, they got a pretty easy upcoming schedule according to their 2021 opponent's record, which was 135-154 in 2021, under 500. Man, do you want me to give my take first, or do you want yours?
No, I want mine?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, they have a lot of winnable games to start off this season. They really do. The thing that I don't like is I don't think Jameson Williams is going to be ready by week one, so you're going to have to write that off. And all of this is just kind of handicapped, too, by the fact that they have none other than Jared Goff at quarterback. I think DeAndre Swift can have another great year. I mean, he's an unbelievable, like, receiving back and running back. Like, that dude had a great breakout season. Yeah. He was on my fantasy team. Remember that? Remember the glory days? And then I got cocky and traded everybody away.
And now you lost and you're like, I quit.
Yeah, and honestly, if you want me, I'll make my public. I'm coming back. I'm glad that you put my name back in. Yeah, I'm going to do it again. Fuck you guys. I'm going to win this time.
I'm going to text everybody right now.
But they have a lot of winnable games at the beginning of the schedule. Like, I mean, they play Washington, Seattle. I think, honestly, they could put up a fight against New England, depending on who you ask. According to some people, New England's looking dangerous. But, yeah, and then they go up against, you know, this Dallas team. We don't know how they're going to look. At least offensively. And then, you know, Miami. Like, they got a lot of winnable games. The only problem is, yeah, like I said before, they have Jared Goff. And the problem is, too, like we said last year, the 50-50 games usually don't lean Detroit's way. And whenever you get a lot of 50-50 games, that's not good.
Historically, no.
Yeah, like that's, I mean, honestly, I said, you know, they got a lot of winnable games in the first seven, but you could still lose those games if you're Detroit. I want to see Hutchinson. I want to see him on defense. I want to see what he can do. I think that would be great to have, you know, a great building block on defense for Dan Campbell. You know, maybe you can get something like Washington had a bad defense for a long time, and then they got Chase, and, you know, he started. Then they built off him. You know, maybe this is the piece for them.
You know, Dan Campbell's whole philosophy is he's trying to build up front and build the trenches. And honestly, that's something that I typically agree with. I think that's the right way to build a team around. So this could very well work out in the long run for him. And yeah. I think that Aiden Hutchinson, I think not that he's going to be a superstar every year defensive player of the year kind of guy. I don't see that, but I think he can be very good for a long time and kind of be a face of this franchise. Hopefully, yeah. Other than the quarterback that they get after Goff.
Yeah. And you know, that's what I put at the end. As much as I want to root for this team, because they have a lot of young pieces, they just need the young quarterback. That's all they need. Because right now, Goff is just, he's handicapping this offense. His stats weren't that bad last year, but you watch him play, you know.
I agree. But the Detroit's not trying to win right now. And it's, like I said, I think that's a good thing. They could have reached for a quarterback.
Ended up in the same situation they have over and over again.
And there's, won't do that in the future because they very well might. But
gone for right now. You're still paying him.
You're still gonna have. So why reach on a quarterback?
And after this year, you can get rid of his contract, which I'm guessing they're probably gonna do.
I would assume
it's a throwaway year. I'm giving them 6 wins though, because I think they got enough pieces. I think they're gonna be feisty. I'm gonna give them 6 wins, 6-11.
I love it. I actually had the same win total. I've got, and it really, I think it bears down to their strength of schedule, a lot of it, because every team I have them beating, there's really only one or two that I think could be an upset. could be considered an upset, which is the Panthers and the Commanders. Still weird calling them that. But I think those you can kind of consider an upset. But I've gotten beaten the Giants, the Jags, the Bears, and the Seahawks there. So I don't really think those are upsets, but, you know, at least big upsets in my opinion. But I think six wins is a good – I think that's good for them. I don't know if they hit it, but I'll tell you what, and the over-under is 6.5, so, or at least when I made this chart it was. So six wins is probably a good guess.
Yeah. All right. You ready for the Bears? You done with the Lions?
Yep. Okay. Who we got next?
We got Chicago. Chicago, Chi-Town, 6-11 in 2021. Over the offseason, they signed quarterback Trevor Siemian. You like that? 2 years, $4 million deal. They also just traded for wide receiver N'Keal Harry as well with the Patriots for a 2024 seventh-round pick. They picked up Chiefs wide receiver Byron Pringle on a one-year, $4 million contract. And then they also picked up defensive tackle Justin Jones, two-year, $12 million deal. Nathan, what do you think about the additions?
I'll tell you, I do – N'Keal Harry, that trade has to be talked about, and it's not – necessarily in a good or bad way for the Chicago Bears, because this could easily pan out for them. A seventh round pick, you're not giving up too much for them. But I think he was a first round pick, wasn't he?
Yeah,
two
he
years
was.
Ago. Yeah, this.
Yeah, he was first.
That's New England for you, drafting skill positions, flipping them 2 years later for a seventh round pick. Anyway. the Byron Pringle, I'm telling you, I don't think there's too much to their additions. I think they're pretty much leaving
the Tyreek Hill wannabe.
I think they're pretty much leaving Justin Fields hanging out to dry.
Yeah.
Especially I agree with you. When you look at this long list of subtractions here, and honestly, ones
on their team, I would say. So I don't think the future's
usually like I have to like slow down a little bit, and like I only put the ones that are like relevant. Like I only put the, you know, big name subtractions or whatnot. So yeah, the Bears, I mean, usually I'm pretty nice, and I only put like a couple subtractions that are like relevant, but for the Bears I just couldn't stop putting them down. Let's start with
the thing is, most of these are significant subtractions, I would say.
Yeah, in some way.
Right, exactly.
They lost the two veteran quarterbacks, Andy Dalton, he went to the Saints, and Nick Foles, he went to the Colts. They lost them. They lost two pretty important running backs. Tariq Cohen, he still remains unsigned. And then Damian Williams, he went to the Falcons. They also lost wide receiver Marquise Goodwin. He went to the Seahawks. And then Allen Robinson, as we know, he hated his life in Chicago. He went to the Rams. And then on the defensive side, they lost Akeem Hicks. He went to the Buccaneers. Linebacker Bruce Irvin. Linebacker Alec Ogletree. And then, oh yeah, they lost a guy by the name of Khalil Mack. They traded him to the Chargers. So, Nathan, is this the worst list of subtractions
absolutely
in the league?
100%. Especially, you know, Allen Robinson, his numbers dipped last year, but his target share was incredibly low. And I think on the defensive side of the ball is huge. I think Akeem Hicks, he's getting old. I don't blame them for not wanting to sign him to a long-term deal. But I think that's going to be a pretty significant loss there, especially Khalil Mack. I think that's going to be, honestly, one of my favorite additions on the year once we get to that division. But I don't think the future's looking bright here. I think they're about in full teardown mode, other than Justin Fields. Get them all out.
Yeah. It's going to be tough for Justin Fields starting out, I feel like. Yeah. For sure. Draft in the second round, they drafted corner Kyler Gordon and safety Jaquan Brisker. And then in the third round, they took wide receiver Velus Jones Jr. If I fucked up these names, I apologize in advance.
We're sorry.
Nathan, do you know anything about these guys?
Kyler Gordon, I like that pick, and Jaquan Brisker. He's a little bit raw, I think, but I think that could pan out for him.
Strength.
I don't know
schedule.
Anything they about got... about Jones Jr. though.
What'd you say?
I don't know anything about Jones Jr. Velus Jones Jr.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know.
I can't comment on him.
He's probably going to be the slot guy or something.
Right.
Like they've. I'll get into this once I give my prediction. But strength of schedule, they did get a benefit here. Tied for 24th. Opponents had the record of 135, 152, and 2 in 2021. Nathan, I want to hear your prediction first on Chicago.
Chicago. I have the Bears losing this division. In last place, I have the Bears at 3-13.
Damn.
Or 3-14, I guess.
Yeah.
Still getting used to this extra game. Yes, 3-14.
You're gonna dive into it? Let's hear why. You can't just leave it at that.
I kind of already elaborated on it. I really think this team has fallen apart quickly since that Khalil Mack trade. I think was it 2017 or 2018 that trade? I want to say 2018.
Yeah.
Since that
never
trade
really
though,
got, like a good Khalil Mack or a good version of Khalil Mack.
And I don't think it was at all his fault. I think you're going to see him kind of rebound a little bit with the Chargers, but this team's lost so many, you know, good skills. Never really had any good skill position players. You know, their defense aged badly, and at quarterback they could just never figure it out. So, I think this team is, like I said, it's about to be full teardown mode and just kind of rebuild everything. I think they've got a pretty good talent in Justin Fields. I think he could be something, but they're going to need to fix things around him in a hurry if they're going to make anything out of that.
I agree with you. I'm close to the 3-14 record too. I like Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields showed some promise.
I agree.
With how dog shit that team was. I think he showed some promise. And with Matt Nagy as your head. I bet you he wishes he had Matt LaFleur.
yeah.
But I'm rooting for him. I like Justin Fields. I like him a lot. But they definitely regressed. They got worse. Is this the worst receiving core in the league right now? Maybe Houston? But Brandon Cooks is all right. Darnell Mooney's good. I like Darnell Mooney. But other than that,
but for both teams though, I think that's a tough call. But I'd have to take Mooney.
Oh, but I mean, it's just one of the worst receiving corps in the league.
Oh yeah.
They also traded away Khalil Mack. So like this, I don't think the strength of schedule even matters. I think Matt Eberflus, or is that his name?
Eberflus.
Eberflus. I knew I missed the S at the end of it. Eberflus. I think he's Eberflucked this season. I think they're going to go 4-13. All right. You ready for maybe the most exciting team of this division?
I'm so pumped for this.
I'm calling this team right now the Minnesota Vikings, who went 8-9 in 2021. I'm calling them my official Atlanta Falcons of the 2022 season, which means that I'm going to say they're going to win the division and they're going to fucking lose it really bad. Because every time I pick the fucking Falcons, that's what they did. But so over the offseason, they picked up defensive lineman Harrison Phillips from the Bills. He signed a 3-year, $19.5 million deal. Linebacker Jordan Hicks from the Cardinals, he agreed to a 2-year deal worth $10 million. Linebacker Za'Darius Smith from the Packers, a rival pickup there. He signed a 3-year, $42 million deal. And then also they signed Kirk Cousins to a one-year deal. He was technically a free agent, even though it was kind of a re-signing. But I just felt like I had to put that in there. But he's on a one-year, $35 million deal. Nathan, what do you think about these pickups?
I think the Za'Darius Smith pickup from Green Bay is huge. I think that kind of a guy going from one team to another team in the division, especially when both of them are going to looks like going to contend for the division here, it always kind of pumps me up. I think that's a good move. Kirk Cousins signing, I think that's huge for them this year. Otherwise, who's starting?
True.
I really like this team. I really do.
They kind of always had, I mean, they've always had the skill guys, too. You got Cook, you got Jefferson, you know.
Thielen.
You got the wide receiver. I don't know why I'm forgetting his name, because he's fucking God.
Adam Thielen?
Yeah, Thielen. I mean, they got the team. They got the team. They got a good offensive line, too. They did lose tight end Tyler Conklin to the Jets. I like Tyler Conklin. I think he's pretty good. I think he had an okay year last year. Offensive lineman Mason Cole, they lost him to the Steelers. They lost longtime defensive end Everson Griffin. Defensive tackle Michael Pierce, he went to the Ravens. Defensive tackle Sheldon Richardson. And they lost linebacker Anthony Barr. And then also, as we've talked about last week, safety Xavier Woods, he went to the Panthers. Nathan, what do you think about the subtractions? Anything worth talking about?
Subtractions, I would say the big moves here are, I think, Xavier Woods and Mason Cole, I would say, are the big moves here. They do have a pretty decent offensive line. I think in the team, I think this team was lacking for a long time with Mike Zimmer was, with all the skill positions that they've had over the years, whether it was, you know, they had Thielen and Stephon Diggs there for a while, and then they drafted this Justin Jefferson kid who seems like might be better than Stephon Diggs somehow. But
yeah,
you had a defensive coach on an offensive juggernaut.
Yeah.
I think sometimes that can work out, but lean into what you are. This was never, they've never been a defensive powerhouse. I don't think that's what they're going to be this year. Obviously, you know, in order to go deep into the playoffs, you're going to need a solid defense. But this team is an offensive team. When everything's clicking, you got Dalvin Cook, you got Justin Jefferson, you got Adam Thielen. Kirk Cousins can get the ball to him, and he doesn't make a ton of mistakes.
Yeah.
You're set up for success here.
Like you said, didn't you say Dalvin Cook was taking some receiver reps?
Yep, it looks like he's gonna be getting some more receptions this year too.
Like they just have so much on offense. Kirk Cousins
low-key and Alexander Mattison too at running back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Back too.
Huh? Yeah, Mattinson too.
Yeah. Cook goes down, you still got him. You know, this team is loaded offensively, but they're just they for a long time they just weren't leaning into it. I think that's going to make a big difference.
Yeah, and the draft they took in the first round, they took safety Luis Sign.
Sign, yeah, I think Sign or Cine. Yeah.
Cine.
I think it's Sign. Sin.
Luis Cine, I don't know. Second round, they took corner Andrew Booth Jr. and guard Ed Ingram. And then in the third round, they took linebacker Brian Asamoah, who, I mean, if you remember, we talked about him in the pod. Remember that? Sneaky guys? Oklahoma linebacker?
Oh, yeah.
And then in the fourth round, they took corner Caleb Evans. I don't know jack shit other than Brian Asamoah. I think he's a great pickup. He was one of my sneaky guys in the draft. I think he's a guy that can just be a nice, reliable linebacker. You know, just a guy you can have on your team for 10 years.
I really loved the Andrew Booth in the second round. I think that's gonna pan out for him. This team always drafts cornerbacks, so don't speak too soon. But I really like his talent.
Pretty easy schedule in this season here. 20th hardest opponents went 139, 148, and 2 in 2021. That's good signs. That's good signs. Nathan, you want my take or yours?
I'd like to give mine first, and I want to say you stole my take already.
I know. It was my take first.
Actually, no. I think they're going 12-5.
Okay.
I think they're going 12-5.
So you just looked at my screen and took my answer.
I've had this done for months.
I've had this done for months. I told you about it first.
You did this yesterday.
I feel like I'm getting yelled at by my wife. You did this yesterday, and I'm not doing this shit again.
12-5. And that's it. At the time I filled this out months ago, their over-under was at 9. I think this team's being very undervalued. I think they're going to outperform.
Kirk Cousins' teams always underperform, but I feel like this one's finally going to live up.
I think this is the year.
There's no excuses. If Kirk,
it's Kirk's contract year. He's got one year left. This is it, like, man.
If you fuck this up, or if he gets this, he could get a fat contract. He can get another good contract. Deal,
baby.
Kirk, he wins one playoff game, I think he's getting a good deal.
100%.
One. So 100%. Kirk, Kirk's rolling out there, and he's ready for it. I think this Minnesota team is loaded. I mean, like we said, with the offense, like I love this offense. That offensive line is fucking great. You know, Kirk Cousins, didn't he take like 12 weeks to throw an interception or something?
Yeah, dude. People really underestimate Kirk Cousins.
If he's not turning the ball on that offense, they're not turning the ball over.
Exactly.
You know, it's just not turning, like, and you don't understand how many games that could sway your way. I like it. And they also have Kevin O'Connell, like we've talked about, too. Offensive-minded guy. Man, I think there's a chance they can start the season 6-0. I really do.
Oh.
They open against Green Bay. I think we're going to talk about Green Bay in a little bit. I think they're going to split the season with Green Bay. I think by the end of the season, Green Bay is going to get it going. They're going to figure it out and be able to beat Minnesota. But I think the beginning of the season, Minnesota has so many pieces that have been together for so long. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have Devontae anymore. Aaron Rodgers throwing to Lazard as wide receiver 1. I think they're going to win that first game for sure. And I think that's going to kind of set them up. And, yeah, they could easily start the season 6-0. They play Philly in week 2, Detroit in week 3, New Orleans in week 4, Chicago week 5. And then Miami in week 6. Like, the Philly game and Miami game are the only, you know, and I mean, obviously Green Bay. But, like, those are the only games. But I still think Minnesota has a good chance of winning them.
You know, I think I'm looking at their schedule now here, too. If you're going to say they can go 6-0, I think you got to go to 8-0. Because then they've got the Cardinals and the Commanders. And yeah. I think those are two winnable games as well. Especially after they beat the Packers, the Eagles, you know, they beat some decent teams there.
I can just see them hiccuping a little bit. I think Arizona can beat them, and I think Washington's going to be kind of a frisky team too. I think they can upset. They got upset potential for sure.
I've got a split with the Packers. I don't know where that win's going to come because I've got them kind of flip-flopped. I think the week one win could be a possibility. I've got them winning
17 against Green Bay.
Yeah,
I'd probably flip-flop those.
Or yeah, 16, I think.
I think I agree that if they're going to beat Green Bay one of two, I think it would probably be the earlier one.
I want you also take a look at the schedule here. Take a look at the schedule.
Yeah.
How many times do you see them losing back-to-back games? I only see one spot.
One.
One spot, and that's the Green Bay-Philly matchup at the beginning of the season.
Mine's I actually have him getting upset by the Bears and the Dolphins.
Ooh.
I really do imagine this Vikings team as I think they're going to start out the year pretty good, and I think they're going to have a stumble in the middle.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins and this team just give me that feeling, but I think they're going to finish strong. They've got the Lions, Colts, Giants, Packers, and Bears. They can win four or five of those out of six.
I think they're going to be a typical Minnesota team and be really, really good in the regular season and then be bad.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
But I got them going 12-5 as well. I think they're going to be one of the top teams in the NFC. You know, 20th hardest schedule, you know, all that offense. I think I got to give them a 12-5. You done with Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm ready for Green Bay.
All right, last one. Last one, we got the Green Bay Packers, 13-4 record in 2021. They lost in that heartbreaker divisional round to San Francisco in Lambeau, 10-13. Yeah, that was a hell of a game. So they followed that up in the offseason. They picked up veteran wide receiver Sammy Watkins on a one-year, $4 million deal. Corner, they picked up Rasul Douglas on a three-year deal worth about $21 million. And then they picked up punter Pat O'Donnell. I just threw that in there because they didn't do shit. Nathan, what do you think about the additions or lack thereof?
My question, did Mason Crosby retire?
I'm not sure. I think he's still there.
Oh, no. That's not
good. I think they're still rolling out Crosby. Hold on. You keep talking. I'll look it up.
That's not good. These signings, I mean, Sammy Watkins, we've seen this before. Rasul Douglas, they needed a little bit of help in the secondary last year. I don't think that's a bad deal. But the fact that you had to put a punter in there for a third one because they didn't do anything else.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up very, very good points.
I don't know what they're doing, man. The Packers, I can generally – I think they're far too conservative usually for my taste, I guess. But this time I really don't understand what their plan is. It almost seems like Aaron Rodgers went to him and said, look, I've given you, 15, 16 years. I want you to give me as much money as you can, and I don't care how good we are for the next 2-3 years.
Yeah, he sold out for sure. And I can see him doing that, too.
100%. He says he wouldn't. There's no way. He says he wouldn't. He would.
Also, Mason Crosby is still on the team. He is going to be probably the starting kicker because he's under contract. This is his last year. He's still with that team. Yeah.
I don't like
that. Sammy Watkins, I mean, he's kind of interesting. I think Lazard might be able to make a step up. They still got Cobb. They're really banking on a rookie.
The
Christian Watson kid.
Yeah, I think he can be good, but that's asking a lot of a rookie to come in and step in for Devontae Adams, basically. Because or you're asking, Lazard to make a huge step up. Lazard, I think, is great for the role he has played in his career. I don't think he's a number one target.
No. I agree with you. Subtractions. This is here a hefty list a here. List. Davante Adams, he was traded to the Raiders. They also lost wide receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling. He went to the Chiefs. They lost offensive lineman Dennis Kelly. He went to the Colts. Lucas Patrick, he went to the Bears. And also offensive lineman Billy Turner, he went to the Broncos. Linebacker Za'Darius Smith, as we said, he went to the Vikings. And they also lost corner Chandon Sullivan. He went to the Vikings as well. A lot of losses in that subtraction. And a lot, I mean, Davante, I think he's the best wide receiver in the game right now. Valdez-Scantling, I mean, he's been a reliable guy. You just can't be doing this. Oh, God. Nathan, what are you doing, man? Pouring a glass of whiskey right in the, right in the middle. You got to load up right in the middle of the pod, huh? What do you think about the subtractions?
Davante Adams, obviously a huge loss. Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I think any other loss to your receiving core after Davante Adams just gets magnified, so I think that's a big loss too. And Za'Darius Smith, I would say, are the three main ones I'd look at. Again, that Za'Darius Smith thing, I think, is going to play out. I think that's going to be a big loss for them defensively.
Yeah. Just losing Davante, I feel like this is going to be tough, but at the same time, they got Aaron Rodgers. I think it's going to be something that at the beginning of the season is really gonna impact him. Once I get into my breakdown, I'll talk a little more about that. Let's go over their draft here. First round, they took inside linebacker Quay Walker, defensive tackle Devontae Wyatt as well. Second round, they took wide receiver Christian Watson, as we said. And third round, offensive tackle Sean Ryan. And then in the fourth round, they took wide receiver Romeo Dubes. Sure. An offensive tackle, Zach Tom. So, I mean, they went heavy on the wide receivers and, I mean, kind of filled the holes that they lost, but not with big notable names. What do you think about the draft?
I think this team's just doing what they have to do to remain a contender for the next few years. While they still have Rodgers around. They made some pretty good drafts, though. I think Devontae Wyatt, Quay Walker in the first round, honestly, I was pretty happy with their draft overall. Christian Watson in the second. There was talk to him going in the top 10. I think that's a pretty good pickup in the second round for Christian Watson. Overall, I like it. I like what they did in the draft, but they're losing a lot and fast.
Yeah. There's just a lot of holes to fill, I feel like.
They're just kind of
trying to put duct tape over them.
$50 million a year, it's a lot of money.
Yeah. Strength of schedule, they got benefited this year. 22nd hardest, so a pretty easy schedule. Opponents went under 500 with a 137-150-2 record in 2021. Do you want it, or you want me to get this one?
You got it.
Okay. So, they lost a lot this offseason. They lost a lot. I think Davante is the best wide receiver in the league. You lost him, and you kind of fill in Alan Lazard into that role. That's not going to pan out too well for you. Like you said earlier, I think Za'Darius Smith is a big loss too. You know, especially going to a rival. I think if anything, that makes players play better. You know, sometimes. A lot of time, I mean, look at Favre, his first year. I always got to bring up Brett Favre, by the way. I'm wearing his jersey. That's just how it works. And we're talking about Green Bay. But, I mean, looking at the schedule, I see them... You know, I think they're going to start out slow. I wouldn't be surprised if they got upset a couple times. Like maybe losing to New England, maybe being around 500 for the beginning part of the season. But I think once Aaron Rodgers starts getting going with these young receivers and Lazard, I think he can get them motivated enough And I think LaFleur's a pretty good head coach. I think he is. I don't know if he's an offensive mastermind like everybody says he is, but I think he does improve an offense.
Absolutely.
And he also they also benefit from the fact that this conference sucks ass. So I think they're going to be in the wild card hunt, but I think the beginning half of the season is going to be hard to come back from. I got them going 9-8, and maybe 10-7. I'm flip and flopping between the two. I think they're going to maybe either barely miss the playoffs or just barely sneak in. But yeah, that's my record for them.
So, you know, I'm looking at the schedule here, and while you were talking, I was thinking to myself, I originally had the Packers at 13-4.
Damn.
And that's why when you said their strengths of schedule, I said it shows. And because their first half of the season is if they're not winning games in the first half of their season, I really do think they're toast. They're really going to have to turn it on in the second half because that's where their schedule gets a little tougher. They've got the Vikings, Bears, Bucks. That's going to be a tough game. Patriots, Giants, Jets, Commanders.
I really think, this is me being honest too, I think the Patriots can really put up a fight against them, if not beat them. And, you know, if the Jets are feeling frisky like I think they might be, they might be able to put up a fight too that early in the season.
And I do think it's going to be... I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears stole one against them this year.
Yeah.
Out of the three 100%. Ones, I do have a win against the Packers.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I could
say I think
well.
This I ended up bringing them down to 10-7. I think this schedule can get if they're not playing well in the first half of the year, which with all these new pieces, first halves can be tough. So I really do think this can get away from them in a hurry.
Yeah, for sure. I think a 10-7 record. They're saying Aaron Jones, he's going to be lining up a lot. You would say Aaron Jones had a kind of a rough season last year, right?
He battled some injuries.
He had 10 touchdowns. He had 4 rushing and 6 receiving. If that's a bad year, I'll take that 10 out of 10. And absolutely. Then A.J. Dillon, on top of that, rushed for 6 touchdowns. Like, you know, so there is talent. It's just not in all the right spots. Green Bay people are going to, you know, that's the big thing they've been pushing. Is that Aaron Jones is going to be, you know, it's going to be a lot of receptions out of the backfield. So that's why I think at the beginning of the season it's going to be tougher just because you're getting used to once you get those wide receivers going, especially the young ones, I think Rodgers can get these guys motivated enough to win 10 games.
I mean, here's the thing, though. We all know Rodgers throughout his career, inability to throw to people that he doesn't trust. He didn't throw to Devontae for a long time. Just weird things like that with him. Not necessarily weird because obviously you have to trust the guy out there. But things like that with him I think could play a factor here early in the year because he's going to be forcing the ball into, you know, Robert Tonyan and Aaron Jones out of the backfield and stuff like that. I think that's going to play a factor. And like I said, I think a lot of their winnable games are going to come in the first half of the season. So that could play a factor. Yeah. Everything being new still.
10-7.
What's that?
I'm going to go 10-7. I can't go 9-8. I think Aaron Jones is going to make a big difference this year.
I don't know, man. This could get away from in a hurry, but I don't want to say it, but maybe Aaron Rodgers does go 13-4. Who knows?
Yeah. All right, let's go through it. What do you think the Lions' record's going to be?
All right, let me pull up their standings. I've got the Lions at 6-11.
I think they're going 6-11 as well. Chicago, what do you think?
3-14.
I have them going. Where'd they go? Where'd they go? I don't know why I lost it. Oh, 4-13. I got them going 4-13. I think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. Vikings, what do you got them going?
12-5.
I got them going 12-5, too. They're winning that division. going to be one of the top seeds in the NFC. Packers, final one. We had them going both 10-7, right?
Yep, so we've got the Vikings winning the division. You heard it here first, folks.
Hopefully, I kind of am rooting for it going down to that last 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Nobody likes to see, you know, stars sitting out week 18.
True. All right.
It's no fun.
That was a good one. I like the NFC North. I like the NFC North. I think it's going to be fun. All right, Nathan.
I did too. Hey, I got it. Do you want to decide what division to do next week? We get the NFC East and the NFC West left.
I think. Ooh, what's more fun? I think let's do the NFC East because I think the NFC West is full of more wild cards.
I agree. Let's do the NFC East next. We'll see you later this week, folks.
Next week in parentheses, even though we're going to film it in like two fucking days. All right, good shit. Nathan, what's your final thought?
So right before we started the pod, I was watching the Home Run Derby. Albert Pujols put up 13 home runs. I'd say more than I expected. I'll give him that.
13?
No, 20, actually. I had to update it. he actually made it around.
Wow. No shit. Good for him. That's a win. That's a win for Albert.
It looks like they're in the final round right now. Yeah, no, he's not. He got knocked out by Juan Soto, actually. In fact, if you just happen to hear this, Juan Soto, please come to St. Louis. We'd love it.
There's no way that's going to happen.
I know.
Spend any fucking money. You got to come to New York. That's where we fucking spend money here. I can't wait till Nick has the next podcast because the Bronx Bombers are dropping everybody's ass.
I will say this. The Cardinals. Okay, Juan Soto's got the rest of this year and next year left on his current contract, right?
Yeah.
If they want the Cardinals to give up our two top prospects,
Nathan,
even for a year and a half of Juan Soto, I'm okay with that.
Nathan, they're not going to do it.
I know, but I'm just saying. They're
not going to do it. You know it's not going to happen. I have to be that guy. I have to be that guy to shut down your dream.
And I'll tell you what.
It's not going to happen.
If it's a sign-and-trade situation with Juan Soto where we know we've got him locked up for 10 years, sell the farm. I don't care.
Sell the whole farm.
Sell it.
We
draft well. That's what's great about us. But we don't have to hoard the prospects. We can sell, too. We can sell them out.
True. Very true. My final thought. I don't have two long snappers in the line, by the way.
Cardinals have the most.
Oh, my God. We're still talking about this shit. The Cardinals aren't going to pick anybody up.
Hold on. The Cardinals have the most prospects in the top 100. They have 7.
Wait, now I'm kind of intrigued. Well, give me a package right now for Juan Soto. I'm actually intrigued now. Get it going. I didn't know we had that.
So
let's hear the farm.
I think what are these guys' names? Jordan Walker. And
give me numbers. Where's he ranked?
Let me pull up the top 100.
My God, this is what this podcast is going to. We went from a home run. Your final thoughts are all over the damn place.
The Cardinals, and somebody from CBS actually did an article on this. The Cardinals are the best setup to
make this trade.
I mean, we can make it happen if we want to.
You think we'll have to give up Gorman?
No. We won't give up Gorman.
All right,
so we've got
too
Mason
much time on this.
I got it here. Mason Wynn, he's 20 years old in Double A right now. Shortstop, ranked number 89.
Okay. We need like 10 of those.
Hold on. So this has been the talk. Jordan Walker, number 7 in the country, third baseman.
Oh, shit.
20 years old. We don't have a need for a third baseman. Arenado's locked up there.
Yeah.
Theoretically. We're good. We can trade him away. And Matthew Libitor, package those three together. Boom.
Libitor hasn't shown anything.
Even if it's for a year and a half, I would do that trade.
I don't know. Maybe. Your final thought was better than mine. But my final thought is, so I don't know, Nathan, you're not very active on Twitter, but EA is one of the worst companies known to man in the video game world, ass with microtransactions and everything. And the other day they tweeted, you know, have you seen the little memes that everybody's saying, like, oh, she's a 10, but she doesn't shave her ass, you know, stuff like that.
He's a 10, but he can't shave the underside of his balls.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff like that. It's like, oh, he's 11. EA made a tweet, and it said, he's a 10, but he only plays single-player games. Like, just dog and single-player games. And EA got fucking destroyed in the comments. Like, people going nuts.
What? Single-player? What's wrong with that?
They make single-player games, too.
Right.
Jedi Fallen Order is from them. Mass Effect was from them.
Oh, man.
All these single-player games were from EA, and they're shitting on single-player games and just got destroyed. And then they're like, oh, guys, it was just a joke. It's like, shut up. No, fuck you guys. You guys are the worst company in the world. I hate EA. So I'm just glad. I hate the whole ratio thing on Twitter, but thank God you guys ratioed EA. That just needs to be a thing. We just need a ratio EA every single time they tweet anything because they suck so much ass. That's my final thought.
EA, man.
EA, man.
They've been putting out the same Madden game for 13 years.
Exactly. They're making a new... They're making a 2K game coming out soon.
Are they?
2K's making a Madden game. And then also on top of it...
NCAA's coming back out here soon.
Yeah, next year. It's supposed to be next year.
I'm excited for that one.
Oh, it's good times for football video game people. That's for sure. Because all we've had is Madden, which is just dog shit. All right.
Show me the
Nathan,
2K one.
You know what to say.
Spread the word.
Spread it.